Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And what kind of year are we looking forward to? Do we have a lot of fear about it? And we might. What have we been through? And what does that portend for the future? And where do we believe it's heading? So we're going to do a couple of different shows. We're doing this show today. We're going to be working with Alexander Dunlop, our card master, to look at how the cards are playing for this coming year. Mm-hmm. And also, numerology is really a science that has proven itself out this last year. And we presume we'll do again this next year. We're going to talk about that. And then there will be a future show soon about what human design tells us about this next year, which is always a lot of detail and insight. And so we'll be doing that shortly. But today, we're speaking with our card master, Alexander Dunlop. Alexander, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. It's always a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, so where do you want to start? You have ideas about, because, usually we start talking about the number of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's true. And you and I were talking earlier that this past year, 2019, was a 3-year. And when you add the digits together, the 219. And then this coming year, 2020, we're moving into a 4-year, which for me is going to be a welcome relief, and maybe for a lot of people, as the 4 is a more stable and organized energy. The 3 can be divided and anxious and uncertain, and it can be very upsetting and lead to a lot of mental turmoil. And I think that's fair to say that we've all, as a nation and as a world, experienced that this past year. I know me personally, I experienced a lot of mental division and upset this past year. And looking forward to a 4-year that we move into, which has its own challenges, but much more stable, organized, and foundational compared to the 3. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think this next year, the goal for everyone is to get beyond last year, get beyond all of the craziness of it, and try to find some stability.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a real purpose. And so the 4 is the right card, the right number for that.
Yes.
Because it will help us. We'll all be thinking that way. Everyone will think, where can I settle in? Where can I get better footing? Mm-hmm. And it drives us for that. Whereas last year, there was almost no hope. We just let the cards play out as they did.
It can feel that way. With the 3, it can be like we're searching for our compass, trying to find our way through the woods, and it can seem hopeless, like it's dark and gloomy and all is lost.
Right. And I remember last year thinking ahead to this year that it's going to be a 4-year. And how can it possibly be? It's like in the middle of turmoil. How can you imagine things settling down?
Right. Yes, a welcome relief it will be for sure.
Well, we're coming to it.
Yeah.
What I did for this coming year was I drew a card. And I did that last year too. And it makes sense. But what's interesting is that I had my deck of cards and I'm about to shuffle them. And all of a sudden, a 3 of diamonds exposes itself. Yeah. And I said, I don't want a 3 of diamonds. I don't know why it exposed itself. I'm not happy that it did. That must mean something.
Well, it's Donald Trump's birth card.
I know. And so I quickly buried the card. And then I shuffled so much because I wanted that card to disappear. And I shuffled and shuffled and shuffled. I said, I don't want this three of diamonds to reveal itself again. And then I spread the cards out upside down. And there was no reason for any one card to be in any one place because I had shuffled them so much. And I just picked a random card in the middle of the spread, just whatever, pulled it up, and it was the three of diamonds. And I said, this is a very persistent card.
It is, yes.
And I've learned about shuffling and drawing cards from a friend of mine who one day was picking a card, and I don't remember which jack it was, but she picked a jack. And she said, okay, I'm going to pick another card. And she shuffled the deck again, the same card. She said, okay, that's crazy. I'm going to shuffle the deck again, pick another card. And she really shuffled it hard and mixed it up, and pulled another card, and it was the same card. Wow. She did that 10 more times. It was always the same card.
Wow.
And she quit doing that. She didn't want to try it again. She said, I just can't believe that this happened.
Well, the odds of doing that are infinitesimal.
Right.
Yeah.
And that says something about drawing cards. It's the lesson about something's at work here. And so when I had this happen today, pulling a card that I didn't want and was shuffling to avoid it.
Yeah.
It's a card that means something. And so here we have a three that we just went through a difficult 3 year. Three of diamonds, which happens to be Trump's birth card. And we're coming into a 4 year. What does the three represent? The three of diamonds. And I believe it represents that we have to work through what we got to create stability one way or another. We have to figure out whether it be this impeachment trial or something will happen that will create more stability.
Right.
And we don't know what it is. How is it going to look? It might not look this way until November. It might not look like a 4 year until, at least in the larger picture of our country,
right,
till the election.
It might not. And the other thing, Peter, is that it doesn't always settle down and find the stability and the order that we hope it will or that we want it to. But it does mean a stability and an ordering and a settling. And it's really important for us to let go of our own ego attachment of what we expect that order and that structure to be.
Well, that's why it has to find its own way.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to have this observation of it, of knowing it's a 4 year, to see what that means. But it might mean that, you know, we each have to create it in our own lives.
I think so. I think that's what it means. And I think we'll find it easier. It'll be, well, it is. It's the energy all around us. And it's an energy that we're all unconsciously aware of, even if we don't know about it. And so it's something that people will be yearning for and craving in their lives this year, and will be willing to create that stability and that order, knowing what we just came through and how daunting and upsetting it was.
Right. So we want to improve things.
So yeah, we do. We, as a people, we are going to want more structure and order and stability.
Right. And so another thing that I did today, and I did that this last year, I threw a hexagram. And for those of you who don't know what that means, is that I there's an ancient Chinese system where you either throw coins or draw straws, and it relates to a particular hexagram of the Chinese I Ching. And there are 64 hexagrams. And the hexagrams each have six lines to them. So each kind of subset of each hexagram. And last year it was very complex. There were changing lines. It was very dynamic. This year it was very simple. There were no changing lines. It was straightforward. It was three yin lines followed by a yang line, followed by three yin lines, for those of you who understand this terminology. And so the yin and yang is weak and strong. So it means that somewhere in the middle there's a strong line surrounded by weak lines. And it's the enthusiasm. It's the 16th hexagram, and it's called enthusiasm. And it's the enthusiasm in believing that that strong line is going to help us. So it's a strong line of saying, well, let's just do our best following what we believe is order, is strength, and be enthusiastic about it. So that could have to do with leadership. So it could be that, you know, we should all get behind our president. Well, right now it doesn't seem like there's a lot of enthusiasm for that. So that doesn't play out. Unless something happens that changes our minds, which is hard to imagine. So it really means that other leadership will come forward.
Well, and as I was saying to you earlier, Peter, I really believe it's our own leadership to come forward, to lead our own lives, to take responsibility for our own strength, and to lead from our own strength, which is to be more authentic in our lives. And I do believe that that creates a ripple effect when each of us take that responsibility and that accountability to lead from our own strength and to bring forth our best. I believe that that creates a ripple effect of consciousness that creates and resonates that for other people as well. And then it builds on itself. So that may be the optimism that we can look for, is that we each are willing to have that inner leadership that will then vibrate and resonate that for others. And then we'll all have the mutual reinforcement of being leaders in our own lives.
Well, that talks about how our whole society is going to function in the future, not being as dependent on the larger structure of our government, et cetera, but more interested in establishing vital communities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, much more, I hate to say tribal. I would say that it's more a mixture of tribal and collective to work together to create better communities, better associations wherever we are, in spite of what's going on in the larger picture.
Well, and it speaks to what this nation is actually founded on, at least in theory and principle, which is the principle of individual sovereignty. And we each have our own free will. And where does true authority and true power rest? It doesn't rest with the king, doesn't rest with the state, doesn't rest with the military or the church or religion. Where does true power and authority rest? It rests within each of our consciousness, in our conscience. And that's where we must bring forth our leadership to speak our conscience. And that's the true foundation of a healthy society.
And also, it respected the power of each state to find its own way.
Right.
And I think we're looking at that now in our country, where there are many states that really haven't found their way, that have their own personalities that aren't as developed. And they're in turmoil, more conflict. And so our smaller communities also have to think in terms of who are we and what do we want and where can we find the power in a smaller environment that we can control better.
Well, that's true. And again, though, it rests in the conscience of each individual to bring that forth, that we don't kind of point our finger and look over there while it's up to those people to do it, or it's up to this organization or that state to do it. It's up to each of us in our own conscience to speak our truth.
Right. And to find ourselves within the organizations that work for us.
Well, that's right. And within the organization is to bring forth our individual best, contribute our individual best, and serve in that way so that we can make better organizations.
So maybe that's a lot of what the four is about. But let's come back to the Three of Diamonds. And the Three of Diamonds, I think, is the work to get there.
Okay.
That somehow we have to hold on to what our history has been lately, which is, you know, all this disturbance, and own it, and then work from that to create stability. So finding our purpose within all this disturbed action.
Well, that's right. And it is, as you said, taking personal responsibility for it. How do we each personally contribute to the discord or the fear or whatever other negative emotion or experiences in our collective field? It is for each of us to take personal responsibility for whatever seeds we are sowing out into the collective. And to, again, at our best, speak our truth authentically with love and compassion, and to have that leadership, and then we will see a different result.
Right. So you went through a difficult year this year.
I did, as a parent.
Right. And I'd like you to talk about what happened, because you were in the middle of confusion and conflict. And
I was.
Had no idea how this was going to work out.
Well, that's right. My daughter, when she was a baby, had a very severe reaction, adverse reaction to her vaccines. And so after that, we stopped. And she did not qualify, surprisingly, for a medical exemption, but we did get a religious exemption. And then, fast forward to where now she's 13, and New York State passed a law in June that ended all religious exemptions. And that threw me into a state of personal turmoil. Well, what are we going to do? Are we going to pull her out of school? Are we going to move? What are we going to do? And I really sent me into fear and concern and worry for her well-being, for her health, and what kind of society are we creating, such a totalitarian state that imposes draconian medical procedures on children who have demonstrated adverse reactions to these, but in the name of health, everybody has to have this one-size-fits-all procedure. So that really threw me into turmoil, absolutely. And the way out of it, long story short, is my daughter looked at me one day and she said, "Daddy, I'll be fine." And I believed her. And I trusted her wisdom of her body, that she knew she would be fine. She's older now and She didn't want to leave her school. She didn't want to be kicked out of school. So she agreed that she would go through the update schedule, the catch-up schedule for vaccines. And something really interesting happened, quite miraculous, I would say, is when we went for the first round of the catch-up vaccines, her mother was there with us, my ex-wife, and we're standing in the doctor's office. And I mean, there's no, you know, it's a sterile environment, right? Next thing we know, so my daughter had two shots that day. And the next thing we know, my ex-wife had these two welts on her face. And I was like, how did you get those? It looked like mosquito bites. But she had these two welts on her face that she was scratching. And my daughter had had two shots. We go home, and later that evening, her mother, my ex-wife, was throwing up violently and had this violent reaction of, she said it was the worst vomiting she'd ever had in her life. And it was like she could feel the poison was coming out of her. It was quite fascinating. It was as if she took on the energy in her own shamanic gifts that she has and redirected the energy through herself and was purging that for our daughter.
That's amazing that she did that. You know, a lot of people might not understand how energy works like that. But for her to become the victim of the vaccines,
to transfer it to herself and to purge it through her own being, so to spare our daughter that.
Yeah, I mean, you might have to think very esoterically to appreciate it, as I do. So I do, but not everybody can understand how life works so magically.
Well, the thing for me that was really startling was I could see suddenly she had these two welts on her face. I was like, well, how did that happen? I mean, there's no mosquitoes in here. I mean, I was standing in the same room she was in, and two shots, two welts, and then violently throwing up, and our daughter was fine. So
has she had subsequent catch-up shots?
She has, and we have her on a detox protocol. It is affecting her health. She has really bad psoriasis, and apparently her liver doesn't process it well, so it comes out of her skin, and it has affected her health. But we do have her on a detox protocol.
And she still has a number of shots left, right?
She still has some left. She's aged out of a lot of them, though, which is good news.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well.
So to your point, it was a really upsetting year for me as a parent of what am I going to do and how am I going to respond and what's the right thing to do here. And it turned out that there was this miraculous solution that helped.
But I remember when you actually transformed the whole thing into an acceptance.
Yes.
The process.
That's right. I didn't say that, but yes, when I was talking with my daughter and she said, "Daddy, I'll be okay." It was me coming to acceptance that whatever happens will be for the highest and best good. And my own fear is not the answer. Like what I was saying earlier, that if I'm afraid and if I'm angry and if I'm upset, then all I'm doing is creating more of that in our energy field. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to sow more seeds of fear and discord and anger and upset. I want to shine a light of compassion and love. And so that means really and truly coming to a place of actually having love and compassion. And that's what I was able to do in conversation with my daughter.
But I think this is very important for all of us in life, is to understand how to position ourselves better, to not be too victimized by things.
Right.
And understand that there's a higher way of seeing things.
Right.
Yeah. So that's great. My voice is still a bit scratchy. I'm getting over a cold.
You sound okay, Peter.
So I also want to talk with you about this very exciting new program that you're starting.
Yeah.
That has to do with the how the cards of each day.
Yes.
And how they prove themselves.
Well, that's right. So every day we have two cards to play, unless we're in the sign of Leo, and then we only have one card. But every day we have two cards to play. And what I've noticed, and I've been tracking this over the last few months, is that if we've played our cards right that day, there's a third synergy card, which is the value of both of those cards combined, because the cards are worth 1 through 52. So
but even for Leos, they might not have two cards, but they'll have two double of the same card.
That's right.
It also creates a synergy.
It does. You're absolutely right. So you can add both the Leo cards together. And what I've been noticing is I can track, and we can all do this, we can track if we've played our cards right in the day by noticing if we realize the synergy of the two cards. And so yesterday's cards were the Six of Hearts and the Six of Diamonds. And the synergy of those two is the Queen of Diamonds. So the Six of Hearts is about emotional alignment. And the Queen of Diamonds is about material prosperity. So very interesting for Christmas Day, of course. But if we have emotional alignment and the material alignment of the Six of Diamonds, and we play that well, we're going to experience abundance and prosperity.
Well, actually, the Six of Hearts is more complicated than alignment.
I'm simplifying it, but yes.
No, but I think of it as a troublemaker because the Six of Hearts is very fussy. The Six of Hearts wants everybody to be in alignment.
Yeah.
And usually at Christmas, there's not that. And so the Six of Hearts is very observant of what's not in alignment.
Yeah.
And that's why there's often emotional struggles at Christmas.
Can be, for sure. Yeah, there is a lot of expectations and assumptions that come with that Six of Hearts. They can be very fussy, as you say.
But there is also at Christmas a great feeling or purpose of abundance, of gift-giving and receiving. Mm-hmm. It's all about the diamonds, and the Queen is all about nurturing and caring for others. And so we experience that.
Yeah. So that would be a way to know. And again, we can track this for each day. And this is a program I'm going to roll out in the new year, which is perfect to help us build a solid foundation in our lives to track each day. Did I play my cards right today? And if not, what happened that tripped me up?
Yeah, Joe's how the result.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we'll get the negative result if we... Let's say we did not play the Six of Hearts well, we would get the negative result of the Queen of Diamonds, which is the neurotic, nitpicking perfectionism.
Yeah. So your website is?
LifeElevated.life.
And that's where people can find
me. People can find me and they can sign up for this program. I have a free version of it. I'm also going to roll out a paid version that's $1 a day. Which will have a daily meditation as well. And then there's a free lookup tool on the site. You can look up your own cards to play and listen to a lot of these shows. Peter, I've got a lot of our past shows up on the site so folks can listen to our shows there.
Yeah, there's so much information about the cards from our shows. Yeah. So that's great. And these synergy cards, we're going to do a show soon more about some of these different unique ways of understanding the cards, mm-hmm. the synergies, and also we have challenge cards.
Yes.
Every card has a challenge. Yes. And I know a lot of our audience has asked for more information about the challenge cards.
We can do that, yeah.
Yeah, because there's so much about this that really works. I think we're getting near the end of the show. My timer was off, so I'm only guessing. But
well, we always have fun when we talk, Peter. We could keep talking forever.
Right. And we'll talk again soon. My voice will be back to normal again very shortly. So we'll do another show soon. So Alexander Dunlop of LifeElevated.life, and your book is Play Your Cards Right. Mm-hmm.
Play Your Cards Right, A Sacred Guide to Life on Earth, and that's available on Amazon.
That's wonderful. So, Alexander, thanks so much for being on Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. Pleasure.
Mine too.